Selective hearing. I think we've all been accused of that at one time or another in our lives. I think we all develop that talent of selective hearing. Dale Carnegie said that hearing one's name is the most beautiful sound to the human ear. But during the time I raised my children, I observed that no matter what decibel level is used, my kids always managed to not hear my voice. I think one of the most enduring legacies of the 1960s and 70s rock music is an early onset of hearing problems for my boomer generation. As we baby boomers move well into our 60s, more and more of us are going to be sporting those hearing aid devices of some sort to help us hear the rest of the world. As the greatest consumer generation of all time, boomers' buying trends will spike new research and new development in hearing aids. Today's hearing aids will be replaced by even more sophisticated electronic gadgetry, most likely with designer logos. But it's not just our ears that are suffering from too much, too loud. Over the past two decades, research has discovered that excess noise has more impact on the body than just hearing loss. It contributes to our high blood pressure and elevated death rates from diseases of the heart and arteries, and damaged mitochondria, the power-generating structure of our cells. Exposure to loud sounds stimulates the free radicals throughout the heart tissue and causes injury to the cell's DNA. In short, too much noise is bad for you. The key to turning down the volume and tuning out some of the world's clamor is to find those frequencies and amplitudes that resonate with the truth. Accomplishing that feat takes a special filter, a hearing aid that doesn't just make everything louder, but makes those things we need to hear clearer, while letting the noise of the world disappear. It takes both good sense and refined sensibilities to make these distinctions. Some loud noises are good, bringing joy and lifting spirit with their volume, especially when we're cheering for the Packers. For example, proposed workplace regulations, this was something I heard when we were in Europe, proposed workplace regulations in the European Union would ban live performances of Beethoven and Mozart. At issue is a rule limiting the noise in the workplace to 83 decibels. If the concert hall is deemed a workplace, a single trumpet can be 130 decibels. The response of the EU officials to the objection that such rules would make classical music unplayable is orchestras should give musicians earplugs. Obviously a lack of any sense. But on the other hand, refined sensibilities don't always mean fancy or ornate. The great congregational preacher John Killinger tells the legend about the simple shepherd's pipe once played by Moses when he kept his father-in-law's flocks. When the pipe was discovered many years after Moses' death, it was decided that it should be put on display for the benefit of his admirers. But it looked far too common for such an important purpose. So someone suggested that it be embellished by an artist. A few centuries later, when the pipe was given a new home and an upscale musician, a committee said that needed improving yet again. And so another artist was employed to overlay it in fine gold and silver filigree. The result in the end was a breathtaking piece of art, a marvelous sight indeed. It was so beautiful, in fact, that no one ever noticed that it was no longer capable of the clear, seductive notes once played upon it by Moses. How do we tell what voices to listen to? whose advice to take, what directives are important, and what we should just let fall on deaf ears. In today's lesson, God's voice from the cloud offered Peter, James, and John simple, straightforward words. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. The message and mission of Jesus was to guide the disciples, informing all of their actions, influencing all else that they heard. God's proclamation to those three disciples is the same for all who follow Christ today. We must let Jesus be our high-tech hearing aid, filtering and clarifying what we hear and how we respond. Listen to him, or as Jesus put it elsewhere in the scripture, learn from me. You see, the disciples had already heard from Jesus a message that they didn't want to hear. Not only did Jesus declare that the Messiah, as a Messiah, he must suffer and be rejected and even be killed, he told them that the things would be tough on his followers too. All this talk about taking up crosses and suffering alongside the Messiah sounded more than unpleasant, more than unexpected. It sounded downright dangerous and distasteful. Finding Jesus' words jarring and discordant, the Apostle Peter had taken it upon himself to rebuke his master, rejecting his words, shutting his ears to the truth of Jesus' message. Fear kept Peter from hearing the unmistakable ring of truth in Jesus' voice. The transfiguration that took place on that mountaintop was designed to help the disciples stop listening to their fears and open their ears to new and unexpected deliverance that Jesus preached and lived. My question for you today is, what is keeping us from hearing God's voice? Have you managed to develop your own selective hearing to the point that only a few platitudes about generally being nice define your Christian identity and your discipleship journey? When God commanded Jesus' disciples to listen to him, God didn't add sometimes, or when it fits into your lifestyle, or as long as it doesn't disturb the rest of your life. God's message to us was simple and unadorned. Listen to him. First and foremost, listen to him. Above all other voices, when everything else is loud and confusing, listen to him. At the start of every morning and the end of every day, listen to him. Before you act, listen to him. When you're especially busy and harried, listen to him. When you're alone and despondent, listen to him. In the face of tremendous pressures and temptations, listen to him. In the midst of your celebrations and successes, listen to him. The voice that informs a disciple's journey may not be recognizable or discernible to others. The world's ears are not attuned to the uncommon, unexpected sounds that accompany Jesus' instructions. One of Christianity's most interesting desert dwellers was Richard Rowley, who lived and wrote during the 14th century. He heard a singing, not a speaking silence. He liked to sit on the doorstep and listen. Listen to what he wrote. It's the tune that makes the song, not the words. The listener in the silence will be living in splendor and fire, and marvelous music will exalt him. He will pay no respect to anyone, even if they do think he's an oaf or a bumpkin. Because in the depths of his being, there is praise of God and this jubilant song. For that sweet song is very special and given only to the most special. It's not an affair of those cadences we listen to in church, nor does it blend much with the human voice, nor is it often heard by human ears. But among angel melodies, it possesses its own acceptable harmony, and those lucky enough to hear it speak of it with wonder and awe. I used to delight to sit alone, so that away from all the racket of my life, my song could flow more easily. I'm afraid that in the midst of our present-day thinking and our reverence for personal freedom, we may be just going through the motions. I think in so many ways we've developed our own form of selective hearing. We must get away to a silence that sings to us of the love of God. And we must do so with an openness and an honesty. We must not just go through the motions of listening, but stop and really try and hear what Jesus is trying to tell us. And finally, we need to ask ourselves, what message is our life sending to the rest of the world? Does your life reveal that you're listening and taking seriously and patterning your own behavior following Christ? Is His selfless love reflected in you? My prayer is that our lives will speak for Christ and His place in our hearts and our lives. For it is something the world truly needs to hear. Amen.